hurt them. And so when I tell you that I don't want to go on a walk at 6 a.m. in the morning alone, and you laugh at me and you say, you're so sensitive. No, there are people out there who want to hurt, you know, women.
Right.
It's not me being sensitive. It's me trying to be safe.
What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline. This is the Cathartic Experience.
Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Hello and welcome. Today's podcast will be about what we hate about being women, part two. And today we're primarily going to focus on misogyny.
Yeah.
The good stuff. So before we begin, how are you today?
I'm okay. There's a lot going on in terms of the practice. I'm trying to take... I lied. You know how I said I was going to take a week off? That didn't happen.
That did not happen.
It's 3 days. We'll take it. We'll take 3 days.
You're taking just 3 days off?
Yeah.
Are you okay in the head?
No.
I'm kidding.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I think that for us, it's like a never-ending to-do list.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like the more we do, the more there is to do. And that's insane to me. And it's to the point where it's like, what is adulthood again? Like, what is this about? Yeah. Like, does it ever stop or end? Because mm-hmm. the more responsibilities you take on, the more you just have to continue doing or thinking about things. And mm-hmm. my thing is, we are in 2021. Why am I calling the bank and waiting half an hour listening to their shitty ass music just to talk to a rep? Hmm? Okay. It's 2021.
Who are you trying to call out?
How about RBC?
Oh.
Anyways, I'm not gonna be petty.
We have a lot of things going on. We have to admit to that.
Yeah, we are too busy. But I think that today's conversation is very important because it's something that's so prevalent, especially in certain cultures where the misogyny of women is actually very promoted. And even in, you know, this Western culture where we think we're so progressive and amazing, we still run into certain workspaces or just spaces in general where women are not necessarily... considered in certain ways or given the proper space to just be and to have a voice. So in a lot of different contexts, I feel like we're still very silenced or questioned or invalidated. And I think we have to talk about this. So first, what I hate about being a woman is kind of this underlying, sometimes this underlying fear that I'm taking up too much space.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking too much, I'm having too many opinions, I'm standing by what I mean very firmly. Like, there's something a little different about that because I know so many submissive women.
Mm.
And it's just like, I feel like I'm paying extra attention to it because I'm a Black woman.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, this is expected behavior from a Black woman to be outspoken and loud. And it's just like, I'm not being outspoken or loud. I'm just saying facts as they are, as a man would. If this was coming out of a man's mouth,
no one would be talking about
it. No one would be questioning it. Nobody would be like, oh, he's being too aggressive. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I'm tired of that bullshit. Like, I'm really exhausted because it's just like so many women are in positions of power, but they're not treated as if they are.
Right. They're looking, okay, where's, you must be the assistant, where's the manager, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Type of conversations, but I think for me and my experience, see, just me saying, I say I think a lot, instead of like, I know on certain things, where it's like, I know where this file is, but I believe, you know, last time I saw it, it was like very, it's not concrete. I tend to do that.
Mm-hmm. Like almost try to, it's almost like this doubt, like you're trying to doubt yourself in front of them so that they don't necessarily strongly believe in what you say. Like,
but I remember one time I did say like, yeah, I definitely, it's over there. Are you sure?
Like people, oh, you got an are you sure?
Yeah, like people questioning if you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't be talking to people like that. And just know that usually when it comes to male friends, I'm like, do I have any? I remember I would get in these debates with this one guy who was part of a friend group, like very narcissistic person. You know who you are. Maybe you don't know who you are. But I would just get into these debates with him, and he wouldn't, it was just like, it was horrid in terms of the way that he wasn't able to listen to my point of view, or just because something came out of my mouth, it was invalidated right away because it came out of my mouth. And it's just like, let's listen a little more to women when they speak, because we both got to the same point at the end of it when he finally got to a realization of what I was saying. And it's just like, if you were listening in the first place, this wouldn't have been an issue.
This wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. So when it comes to like spaces that women take, it could be, and to me it's insane because it's just like, who's dominating university campuses now?
Women. Yeah.
Literally.
Women.
In a lot of the courses that we've had, it's primarily been a lot of women. Definitely less so in other kind of faculties like engineering and things like that, but that's probably because societally we have convinced or try to convince women that they weren't capable enough to consider those forms of work or of career. So
sometimes there is a glass ceiling when it comes to some of these positions, like the higher up positions.
Right. And it's insane to me. And I think when it comes to intelligence itself, a lot of men doubt women. So a lot of men do things in conversation that are actually very inappropriate and rude. They get away with it. Like when someone's talking, you do not talk over them.
No.
You do not try to dominate a conversation with a woman by beating your chest and speaking louder because that's going to make you take up more space. You wait till the person is done.
Is this a polite thing to do?
Because it's a polite thing to do. And then you respond to them. You don't talk over them. You don't cut them off. But I see that all the time. And it's like they think it's acceptable behavior. It's barbaric.
It is.
Like, let's not do that.
Yeah, definitely. I can think of at least one time that's happened to me.
Honestly, like I said, I don't be talking to males like that. And I know that in past relationships, you bet I would skin your ass if you spoke over me.
Skin?
Yeah, skin, potato peeler, bro. Like, because the thing is, I don't take that disrespect, especially in my close relationships. Like, I don't even care if you're my father. If I feel disrespected, if I feel like you're not giving me a chance to finish a sentence, or you're talking over me, or you're cutting me off, you bet your ass I will comment on that.
Right. But then if you make a comment, why are you reacting that way? Right? You're being too much. I was just gonna say this one thing, right? Is everything okay with you?
That's so annoying. The policing, are you okay?
Are you okay?
And it's just like, yes, I'm okay. Better than you, actually. Ah! How about let's talk about that?
I get that sometimes, though. Like, people talking over and you're like, you start to take space. And then they're like, what's going on with you? Like, why are you not talking over me?
Exactly. And the mansplaining. I feel like men sometimes, it's just like, I know what you're talking about. Why are you over-explaining? Did I ask for a breakdown? No, I didn't. I don't need you to teach me about history. I didn't ask to be taught.
Right.
And I used to deal with this, let's say deal with this older man who I used to date, who would give me like history lessons, not in a rude way, not in like a, well, you should know this, but it was more of like, he felt the need to tell me about shit I didn't ask about. Like, do I look like I care about the history of Halifax, sir?
I don't
give a fuck. But the thing is, he automatically assumed I wanted to hear what he was saying. So he just spoke about it. And it's just like, this conversation would have been a lot better if you first asked me, you know, would you like to talk about this? Because chances are, I tuned you out the whole half an hour you were talking to yourself. So it's just like, sometimes men be talking to talk.
I can recall this one time I went to Montreal a couple of years ago on a girls' trip. A bit, and we're all walking together in our little pack, and I think we're talking about like bit, and I feel like sometimes this guy just inserted himself in our conversation. You know when you're like, everyone is walking in that one general direction, like to a mall or to a museum or whatever that is. Hey, he just boop, he put himself right there, and everyone was like, oh. And we looked at each other like, what do we do?
Because you also don't know who the person is, exactly. And what they're capable of.
What their intentions
so
are.
So half of you wants to be like, can you get the fuck away? And the other other half of you is like, what will happen if I tell him to go away? So it's just like, we're always navigating in the world where it's like, are we going to be safe setting a boundary?
Yeah.
Are we going to be safe advocating for ourselves?
And that is the thing. There is... You know, there are some people who hate women.
There are.
To hurt them. And so when I tell you that I don't want to go on a walk at 6 a.m. in the morning alone, and you laugh at me and you say, you're so sensitive. No, there are people out there who want to hurt, you know, women.
Right.
It's not me being sensitive. It's me trying to be safe.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's just like men don't. Walk around that. They don't think about that. They oftentimes they don't have, walk around thinking about their own safety. I remember one of my friend's dads, she was talking to him about you know, her fear of walking downtown, and that she was fearful of men walking downtown late at night. And then her father was like, I'm fearful too. And then she's like, of who? Right. Men, because you don't walk down the street worrying about what a woman will do, unless she looks unhinged, but that's rare.
Right.
So it's just like, people need to understand that, like, we navigate the world oftentimes with a safety radar. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when we are in situations where we're trying to, like, for example, when men give their numbers, it's just like, I will give you a fake number, or I will take your number for now. Even though I don't think you're attractive, even though I don't want to get to know you, I will take it for now because I don't want to know or even see what you may do if you're rejected.
Yeah.
Because some men take rejection way too personally, and I've heard so many stories in the States about men getting rejected, stalking the girl, like murdering her in school, that type of thing. Like, bro.
Right.
You don't own women.
Have you told the story about when you were walking and then someone just, the guy in this car?
Oh my God.
That was...
Oh my God. I have two stories where men have literally physically stalked me and they didn't know me. So, for example, I was walking downtown just trying to enjoy my walk, had my little beats on. I was dancing to whatever song it was. So I'm walking down the street and I see like...
Midday,
and I'm walking, and this car is like parallel to me. It's like matching my pace, and I'm like, this is weird because this is not the speed limit here. And then I come to a stop sign, or the walking sign wasn't on yet, and then he parks in front and then gets out of his car.
He parked.
The door was open. He didn't even park. It wasn't even a full park. He left his door open, got out of his car. He looked me up and down. He's like, I like you. Where are you going right now? And I'm like, to work. Where do you work? At a practice. Do you want to drive? No, thank you. I could drive you if you want. I said, no, thanks. Do you want my number? No, thank you. There were other people there too, like in the vicinity of the area. But I was just like, you literally slowed down your car. You got out of your car to tell me you like, I don't know you. Don't you think my safety radar was like going off? Like, don't get out. Like, men, don't think about this. And I know you're trying to find a future wife, hun. It ain't me.
And there's ways about these things.
There's ways.
You don't park your car.
There's ways. And I think that, honestly, I think of, you know, that stereotype that lonely women get a whole bunch of cats. We need to find an animal for men so that when they get super lonely, they ain't going after women and doing shit like hopping out of cars and shit. Let's find an animal. How about koalas. Like, let's just, men should just buy a whole bunch of koalas when they're alone. Because
you have a pet who's more accessible. So
because some of you, I'm going to be honest, y'all ain't dateable like that. And I think that is, it's okay to accept that fact. Mm. Yeah. So
what was the second story?
My second story. I left the campus of university store. I left the store because I had bought a whole bunch of like sweatpants and sweatshirts and all that stuff, and I was carrying a bag and I was walking to this building. All of a sudden this guy starts walking next to me. Oh, what'd you get? What's in that bag? Is there anything in there for me? And I'm like, no. He doesn't stop walking next to me. He keeps walking next to me. I get to the building I'm getting to. I don't want to go into the actual hallway where the classroom is, because I don't want him to know what the room is or where to find me. So he's standing there and he's like, oh, like, can I have your number? I want to get to know you. And I was just like, I already have a partner. But still, let me add your number. Da, da, da. So I was just like, if this is the only way to get rid of you, I'll add your number. But just like, these men are stupid, because it's just like, even if... Why not just accept that I don't want your number? Because guess what? If I have your number, I'm not going to respond to anything you send me. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want to talk to you in the first place, and I made that clear, but you wouldn't listen. Now you're looking like a whole bozo waiting for me to text back when you knew my ass didn't want to text you in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand. And I've had this incident happen in Uber rides where... it's just like, can I have your number? And it's just like, okay, fine. And then they do the whole calling thing after, to make sure
it's the right number.
I've sometimes given them my friend's number and been like, be on the lookout for this number calling you, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want them to know it's me.
I remember I was on campus and I was like, this guy was trying to talk to me. In the library, I'm just trying to study. Leave me alone.
Leave her alone.
You know, babe, I don't be approachable. I am not approachable. I am not, babe. In part for that reason, I'm not trying to talk to nobody. I'm not trying to see nobody. If I know you, I'll say hi. But, babe, there's no way in.
Nah, you be mean mugging for no reason sometimes.
Yeah. Hello? No.
We don't do hellos over here.
No.
But he was trying to talk to you in the library?
Yeah, and then I called you.
Okay.
But I was like, Nuria, call me.
Yeah.
And then, my friend is calling. Pick it up. Pick up my things. Go. Because sometimes I feel like some people don't pick up on cues.
They don't.
And they keep trying.
They don't pick up on cues. And that's the scary part, where it's just like, You can't, I'm visibly showing you that I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I'm not interested, you know, I don't want for this to happen, kind of pulling out of the whole thing, and you're still following me.
And they can't pick up on it, because oftentimes, you know, culturally or societally, there's this underlying message that men want what they want, and we give them what they want. Right. So it's just like, even when you're resisting against it, they're not thinking about, oh, maybe she doesn't want me. They're thinking, well, I want her, and that should be the period. That should be where the period ends.
Right.
Like, it completes the sentence. And my issue with that is, like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right, but I always wonder, do men not know when they're crossing that boundary?
I think sometimes they do know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hear this thing normalized, too, of men going after women 2, 3, 4, 5 times, the same woman being rejected 2, 3, 4, 5 times, still trying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, buddy, give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if she, let's say, gives into it, then you have to ask yourself what that was really about.
Right.
Whether it was out of general interest or whether she was concerned.
But that's scary to me, that you're not able to pick up on
cues. That someone's uncomfortable?
She said no a first time. She said no a second time. A third time. And you've tried a fourth time.
But that's insane.
The first no should be enough.
And sometimes men become very stalkery. There have been so many cases of men just following women.
Mm-hmm.
Men following women. Men just, even when the woman rejects them. Or especially when the woman rejects them. So it's just like, what the fuck? Like, I don't understand how... we're supposed to feel safe. And it's just like, you tell law enforcement and they do what? Absolutely nothing.
Ask you questions about what you were wearing. Or were you intoxicated?
Or just they don't take it seriously. But it's just like, some people are capable of some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think also something that annoys me about being a woman is, you know, in conversation with men, oftentimes there's a lot of tone policing that happens where it's just like your voice gets a little louder or you seem more frustrated and all of a sudden it becomes you're being too emotional. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but you are too. Right. You know, when you raise your voice and you start yelling and getting frustrated, anger is an emotion. And I don't understand why it's credible, why men's arguments don't fall apart when they get emotional, when they get angry, because angry is emotional, but yet women's arguments falls apart when they show a sliver of just any type of emotion. And that's very invalidating and unacceptable.
It really is.
And if someone tries to tone police, I've never been overtly tone police before, but I'm just like, no, we're not going to do that, because you're getting more emotional than me, in fact.
Right. But it's sometimes like this idea that, okay, I can't cry during this argument because it takes away all of, you know, what I've been building up to say. Right. And it's like, we're humans, we do cry.
Exactly.
We all cry. And it doesn't invalidate your opinion because you cried.
Exactly.
You know?
But that's a huge thing that just gets me very angry to see or to hear about. It really does. And it's just like, especially in work settings.
Yeah.
Women have so much to contribute. Everybody has a lot to contribute. But I've heard of people just being in spaces that don't allow for their growth to be prioritized, because they're kept in a space where it's just like, you're a woman or you're a person of color, so you're meant to be silent. Nothing you contribute is going to be of value or of weight, especially in primarily white organizations.
Right.
And it's just...
And if you bring an idea forward, you need backup.
If you bring... You need allies.
You need like three people saying like, yeah, I think this is a good idea. Because you alone, it's like they don't take it seriously.
Because you're not credible enough by yourself.
You can have all of the letters behind your name.
You could have all the knowledge, all the degrees, and they'll still find a way to take it.
Right, but meanwhile, you know, here comes this person who they sometimes no secondary education. They coming by with, I know this and that. And it's like, what knowledge that you have to back it up? You know what I mean?
That is very, very true. That is very, very true. So I don't understand what that's about, but it's so definitely something annoying. Confusion
between confidence and knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, I could talk about that all day, to be quite honest. But I've just seen it in university settings as well, where the male student speaks up and everybody agrees with him right away. But then the woman speaks
she
up.
She has
and it's
to come
just
with
like,
all of the stats.
It's like, are you sure?
She has to come with all of the
but
stats.
But it's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you know? Where did you get that? It's just like...
Wikipedia?
As soon as the woman speaks, it's for some reason less credible and people feel the need to question it or have her validate where she got her information from, which is crazy to me. And I think another part of everything, and this honestly could be its own segment, is the sexuality part of it, the sexual harassment, the slut shaming. We can make that another segment, but what I do want to follow up on, what we were talking about, is just the sexual harassment piece of it. Like, we don't need you honking your car horn because you find someone attractive. We don't need you following a woman down the street because you find her attractive. We don't need the catcalling.
Yeah.
We don't need all of that. And it's just like, we're not any less than human. Why call us like we're animals?
Yeah.
Who do you call? Dogs. Hey, come here. One thing
but
yesterday.
It's almost like a right to some of these
people. Like, it's almost...
I see someone who looks nice, I have to say something.
I have to. No, you don't have to. What you have to be is respectful.
Yeah.
I had this woman yesterday, back to the emotions. I know I keep ping-ponging. We were talking about, you know, dating. And I remember they had alluded to, I just want someone who can handle my emotions. And I sat there and I was like, you are not an animal. You're not meant to be handled.
Yeah.
You should prioritize finding someone who is respectful enough to sit with you and understand your perspective and not tone police you for quote unquote being too emotional or being overly sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
We're not animals. It's not about handling our emotions. It's about treating us like human beings, is what I told her.
And there's so many layers to that.
There's so many layers to that. And it's a historical one. It's attached to history. It's attached to culture. It's attached to law. It's attached to legal matters. It's attached to so many different things. But at the end of the day, you have to sit there and think to yourself, you know, the people who surround you, even in your friend circles or at work, or who you choose to surround yourself with, how do they respect you as a woman? Or do they not?
Do they not? Sometimes they tolerate you.
Because
they have to work with you. But have you ever gotten a comment about, like, that you were fulfilling a quota?
Who said that to you? She almost said the name.
Previous employment. But that there is a quota for women and there is a quota for BIPOC.
Ew.
Yeah.
Why did they say that?
And it was easy flowing for them to say, kind of like, almost like, how are you? So it's like they're tolerating you in that space.
That's insane that someone would tell you that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you don't want me here because of what I bring in terms of my knowledge. You just want me here to kind of look like you're diverse and friendly and meeting all these, you know, it's kind of like a social act, appearing a certain way so that people think you're a certain way.
Like, the field of mental health is so dominated by women. I'm like, you're the one who's out of space, like out of place. Like, go lay down somewhere. Like,
that is so true. But it's just like, women, you bring...
It's repressed anger against women.
And they're trying to keep us in a spot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we're gaining too much power. And I'm sorry if you're threatened by that. But instead of trying your best to keep us repressed or keep us silenced, why don't you just ask us what we're thinking about?
Right.
Because chances are, we could collaborate if you weren't such an asshole.
If you weren't.
Yeah. And I say that generally, not towards a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
But you misogynists out there, this one was for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's the reflection question, what I stated before. You know, the people who surround you, you know, how do they engage with you or interact with you on the basis that you are a woman? Do they make space for you as much space as they should? Or do they invalidate or demean you because you are a woman?
Yeah.
Do they police your tone? Do they minimize your experiences or your ideas or try to keep you
boxed in
in a corner somewhere where they're not listening to you or validating you? You got to start thinking about these things.
Mm-hmm. And notice them too.
And just be honest with yourself. And if you want to clarify certain things, talk to a friend, talk to someone you trust, talk to a therapist, talk to someone who could clarify what's happening for you, or who could at least allow you the space to explore some of your experiences in these different spaces, because that should be happening too many times in too many different places to be overlooked at this point. But with that, we leave you with...